Hello, and welcome to Diving Into Diabetes, the podcast where we explore the latest advances in best practices on individualized diabetes care. I'm your host, Dr. Alice Chang from the University of Toronto, and with me on the program are Susie Jin, who is a pharmacist extraordinaire and a certified diabetes educator from Cobourg, Ontario, as well as Dr. Michelle Long, who is a primary care physician in Port Hope, Ontario. And she has been a primary care physician for over 30 years, although you would not know that looking at Michelle. So thank you very much for both of you for joining today. And we are going to be discussing the topic of connecting the care team, optimizing insulin management for diabetes. So let's go ahead and dive right into the content. And I'm actually going to start with you, Michelle. So when you're considering insulin for a patient, can you walk us through how you typically approach that initial conversation, focusing on the key information that you share and how you address any potential concerns that patients will often have?
Unfortunately, I think insulin has been misunderstood. I find that patients think of it as something we threaten them with for poorly controlled diabetes. They think of it as a last-ditch attempt to control their sugars when all else has failed. As if they don't behave, then they'll get the jab. And I even have patients who think insulin needles are the size of turkey basters. So I try to educate them about insulin early in their diagnosis, perhaps long before they require it, just to help overcome these misconceptions. I want to ensure they understand that it's not a punishment, but a very effective tool to manage their diabetes well. We use it proactively to achieve good control early, because that's the goal in young people, whether that means 20 or 80 years young. I also keep 4-millimeter insulin needles in my office for them to try. They're usually surprised to see that they look much more like an eyelash than a turkey baster.
I think you've given some really practical, useful tips, right, in terms of what people could do in their office. And I think having the visual for people is really powerful. Michelle, back to you then. Who on your care team specifically, though, takes the lead on explaining the rationale for insulin, demonstrating the injection techniques, and providing the ongoing education and the support?
Well, in our community, the family doctor is the lead of the care team, and sometimes the whole care team, depending on where you live. I'm very lucky that I've had patients in my practice for so long that we have a relationship of trust, because sometimes it's hard to get people to accept other options, other resources, whether that is a group environment or even one-on-one. And I know these are variable throughout Ontario. In Northumberland, we're actually quite fortunate to have some excellent pharmacists and diabetic educators and nurse practitioners. And I encourage my patients to take advantage of these providers because it really does help for them to have a whole team to help with their care. Family doctors and pharmacists are always there to help a patient start insulin. But if they've already been working with a diabetic educator and at some later point would benefit from insulin, then we're all lucky to have that kind of support for the insulin start. The diabetic educator is passionate in their, and this is their primary expertise, and they have the time and sometimes more energy than me to help guide the patient in that start. And I think the patient and the family doctor are lucky to have them as part of the team when possible.
So I could not agree more. It was beautifully said. And that's the perfect segue for us to then bring in Susie into this conversation, who, as I mentioned at the beginning, is a pharmacist in Cobourg, Ontario. So Susie, you've been doing diabetes for a while. So what's the pharmacist's role in helping patients with insulin titration as well as monitoring?
So thank you. I wanted just to begin by thank you. I'm so honored to be here to share the microphone with you, Alice. I've learned so much from you. Honestly, when I look at what's the pharmacist's role, it is such an important question. what is the pharmacist's role? The truth is, it's such an important question because we don't know. It's constantly changing, especially in today's day and age. And so I feel like I love that I've been invited onto this podcast to speak about collaborating and referral pathways amongst healthcare professionals, because a lot of people don't recognize what the role of the pharmacist is. Both healthcare professionals and people living with diabetes. And so my answer is, what is the role of the pharmacist in healthcare? It is literally, what does that person living with that condition want? Who do they want to seek care from? Can we help? And then if it's, can we help navigate the healthcare system for them? Or are we going to be the primary caregiver for diabetes insulin uptitration? You know what I mean? Like, which parts are we going to help them with and which parts are we going to refer? And I think that that's a changing relationship. But I think that a lot of times people with diabetes don't know to ask the pharmacist, and other healthcare professionals don't know how to engage us on the team.
Which is why I think this podcast and this conversation is so important. I mean, we heard from Michelle that primary care has that, length of relationship as well with the patients and can have those initial conversations and get people started and do the teaching. But a lot of the actual hands-on teaching could happen at primary care office, but could also happen at the pharmacist.
Absolutely.
And then also the titration piece, as you had mentioned. So let me ask you then about titration. What are your preferred strategies for insulin titration in where you're working with your patients?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I'd love to answer this question both from what I do, what does the patient want, and that type of thing. But the most effective way I find to support somebody in an insulin titration adjustment would be to look at what is their continuous glucose monitoring data and support them to understand what does their data tell them to do. Because the idea is that we're not just going to look at them and look at the data and support them and tell them how to adjust their insulin, but rather teach them how to look at that data and how to self-adjust their insulin. And so my preferred strategy would to connect them to CGM as much as possible within what is accessible to them. So what does their drug plan cover? And even if it's not, 100% coverage, but even if it's intermittent use or episodic use of CGM, the idea is to support them, to empower them to care for themselves. And speaking of referral pathways or collaborative care, one of the things I did particularly during COVID, when so many healthcare professionals had to go virtual, people would come in with diabetes, would come into to the pharmacy. I would connect them, whether it's starting a CGM. But then the other thing is connect them to the clinic code. And so then the diabetes educators and endocrinologists and family docs, everybody could be connected to this person's CGM data. And everybody could be communicating on the same page and have that kind of access to that information. So I think another role is of the pharmacist is whether you're going to provide direct care or you're going to just help facilitate care by making sure that the tools that they have are being used optimally to support that healthcare team approach.
I agree with you. The pharmacist's role is evolving and also very individualized. And one of the things that I didn't do at the beginning, but I mentioned where both of you work, I mean, I don't know if it's correct to characterize it as a sort of a small to medium sized community. So
small.
It's small.
We'll go small. Okay, so we're a smaller community. So in a resource limited setting, right, where presumably you don't have 15 endocrinologists down the hall, what are practical ways to adapt referral pathways for patients that do need more, I don't like the word intensive, that need more, let's say, basal bolus type management or sort of need more care from an insulin perspective, especially? What do you do?
You hit the nail on the head when you said that we are from a small town. Michelle and I are friends, family doc, pharmacist. But there was one specialist who reached out to me, and he invited myself as a community pharmacist. And then we had the Diabetes Education Center there as well. And he was a specialist who cared for a lot of the people with diabetes were referred to him. And he sort of said, how can we make sure that we're all communicating and working better together? And he actually told me how he likes his documentation sent to him, which was huge because, you know, a lot of times we're using EMRs or we're writing notes that are possibly not helpful to the person. So he actually said, if you want me to do something, write on the very top, action required. And if there's nothing required, just write FYI, you know, no action required. And I did that for him. And I started doing for all my other health, all the other people that I'm coordinating or sending notes to. And I found that the response was faster. And, you know, that it actually opened up a lot of doors where once you get the communication established, they have more trust in you. They would even pick up the phone and call. You know, it just really helps to make sure that your communication works. So I recommend that to anybody who lives in a small town to just get your team together and figure out how you like that communication to work.
But so, Michelle, I mean, Susie just talked about from a pharmacist, diabetes education and the connection with the specialist. What about from a primary care connection to the specialist and connection to the diabetes care team? Are there any hurdles that you've had to deal with?
I can refer to endocrinologists, and our diabetic educators have an endocrinologist with their clinic. But getting everyone in one manner of communication is a challenge. And it often is not streamlined. I find that a big hurdle presently. And facilitating the communication between all of them, I find very important. It sometimes does duplicate the services, but I think reinforcing what's been discussed can always be helpful with a patient.
You know, if I can add something to that, I found that when I started getting more and more into diabetes care, and I would ask the person who's on your diabetes team and ask them that I send this note to everybody. But then if it was the primary care and I was requesting, let's say, a new medication, it would be action required. But if it was sending it to the diabetes educator, there was no action required. So then you'd write no action required, but you're still copying them on the note. So you just find out who's on their team and send it to everybody on the team, but also requesting that many times the primary care or whatever will send or the diabetes educators will send the note to the primary care, but they actually don't send it to the pharmacy. So, you know, we have to make sure that we're all communicating, right?
Yeah. So it sounds like ensuring that communication is 360, right? That it actually encompasses all the members of the team. And also there's frankly the person living with diabetes. And depending on the individual, they may want to have either copies of notes or at least a version that's for them, right? So that they can follow through. So my last question to both of you. So what are some quick, effective strategies that for the person listening right now would be able to potentially integrate into their practice to discuss diabetes education within their routine visits and maybe covering things like the therapies that they're on, lifestyle choices, et cetera? It's a big question, but what are some sort of quick, effective things that top tips, I guess, that you would give our listeners?
Well, I think most important is that you can't address every issue at every visit. So I think what's most important for me one-on-one with a patient is to see if they have a particular fire they want to put out, a particular question they want answered. Because if it's something coming from them, I think they're going to be very engaged with the response and the strategies. And if for any reason they don't, then I get to choose. But to focus on at least one major goal, and if we're very lucky, a second smaller one, is a great accomplishment for a visit.
One of the, you know how you're saying you can't address everything in one appointment time. You know, one of the best things I've also had is where the physician would write the prescription and on the note would say, pharmacist, please review food and nutrition or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, so it really, they told me what they needed. And once I did that, I actually wrote back a note saying done, you know, just a simple done and signed and dated so that they knew that the communication was there and I was able to, whatever they else wanted, you know, this very fluid. But I think for me, a quick effective strategy, if I could share with everybody, is Diabetes Canada did update the insulin pen start checklist. But you can also go to guidelines.diabetes.ca and under the search bar, put in insulin pen start checklist. And I use that specifically as a community pharmacist. I really felt just like how Michelle said, how diabetes educators are so awesome at doing insulin pen starts. As a community pharmacist, you want to be making sure that you're towing the line and be equal. So I made sure that I do that checklist, maybe not all in the same appointment, like you said. I might do, you know, the first part and then call them back in 2 days and follow up on their monitoring and then cover hypoglycemia on the second day and then safe driving the next day. So you kind of work with the tempo that the person living with diabetes is willing to drive the bus. But I hope that that's a quick, effective strategy for how you can make sure you're doing it. And then once you do that insulin pen start checklist, fax it off to all the different care providers to let them know that you've covered safe driving or whatever else you've covered, hypoglycemia, with the person and the date that it was covered.
All great suggestions. And I really want to thank both of you, Susie Jin and Dr. Michelle Long, for taking the time to have this conversation with me, because I think what I've heard is it's critical to know your care team where you are. And even in a small community, as the two of you come from, there are members of the team that exist, right? Primary care, obviously, a community pharmacist, perhaps diabetes education center, if there is one in the area. But even if there's not one in the area, certainly community pharmacists are present. And then plus or minus a specialist that may or may not be reachable. But know who those members are. Sit down and have a conversation and figure out how do we work together, how do we communicate with each other, and utilize the resources that are already available, particularly online from guidelines.diabetes.ca. And I think the dynamic for our listeners can hear, the two of you are clearly friends. And I think one of the advantages of being from a smaller community is that everybody knows everybody. So it's a good opportunity, and that's ultimately beneficial for the patients. So thank you to both of you for joining today. And I want to say a huge thanks, of course, to our listeners for listening to this latest installment of the Diving Into Diabetes podcast. We hope you enjoyed our discussion today on connecting the care team, optimizing insulin management for diabetes. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify, and stay tuned for new releases.